Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
Welcome back. Still scoreless between Celtic and Valencia in the Europa League. Chelsea 1-0 up away from home against Malmo. We have dragged Lawrence Donegan away from watching this Celtic game to chat about golf. Evening, Lawrence.
How are you doing, Nathan?
Very well.
Not much of a drag. It's not much of a game so far.
No, there's not much going on. But if we hear a roar, we'll know what happened. The Celtic have scored.
There you go.
So it's a big week in golf. It's Riviera. It's the Genesis Open. It's the LA Country Club. Tiger Woods playing alongside Rory McIlroy. It's been a washout so far, though. A couple of players did get out on course, posted scores for the first couple of holes. But they've actually decided they're going to swipe that and they're going to start again whenever eventually the rain does stop in LA, so it might give us a chance to go on.
Yeah, I was just going to say that's the first time since 2013 they've done that.
Right.
But I do recommend, if you haven't seen it or anybody's listening, it's out on Twitter. The PGA Tour put it out on a video of Mickelson playing the famous 10th hole at Riviera, a brilliant short par 4. He hits 3 iron off the tee, then hits it in a bunker, then hits it in another bunker, then holes out his third bunker shot for a second bunker shot for a par. It's a brilliant, classic Mickelson.
I was going to say, peak brilliant.
Peak Phil, there you go.
Who, of course...
So that's the only... But that will... It's as if that never happened.
It literally has been blanked from history. Wonder, would Matt Kuchar like certain events at the Mayakoba Classic last year to be blanked out from history? If anybody hasn't been following this story, it's been rattling on for a couple of weeks now. So Matt Kuchar, who'd be one of the better-known American golf players, had a bit of a drought, wins on the PGA Tour for the first time in 4 years last year at the Mayakoba Golf Classic. He wins $1.3 million, and he does so with a temporary caddy. His usual caddy, John Wood, was off that week. He brings in a local caddy, David Ortiz, better known as El Toucan. Generally, caddies would receive 10% of the winnings. So El Toucan may have felt he was entitled to $125,000, $130,000. Instead, the rumor was he got $3,000. It turns out this week that Kuchar gave him $5,000. Is that fair enough?
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Who knows? I mean, it depends who you are. From my perspective, I don't think it's enough. But Kuchar has said nothing about this. This has been raging for weeks, as you say, Nathan. Kuchar eventually sat down at Riviera yesterday and spoke to a bunch of press guys, and kind of defended himself. And they just haven't got. They're so detached from the normal world, Nathan. He kind of made a deal with a guy, and he, as far as Kuchar's concerned, he says he upheld his end of the deal, and. He said, you would have thought the guy would have liked what I'd given him. I mean, he only makes $200 a week, so to get $5,000 for a week's work is really, really great. I mean, says Matt, who's walking away with $1.2 million. Plus, let's not forget, he will be bonused up from all his sponsors. So there's probably another million in there for him for that win. And he's given this guy $5,000, and he thinks that the guy should be happy with that. The other thing he says, I mean, you would think he'd put the photograph up in his office, as if some Mexican caddy lives in a house in which he has an office in which to put up a photograph of him and Matt Kuchar smiling after a tournament victory. Mm. It's a very odd one. Kuchar has a bit of a reputation. His caddy, John Wood, again, you say that a lot of the caddies are on this percentage deal, but I believe that Kuchar has never paid his caddies on percentage deals. He pays them a flat rate. I've heard a number down the years, but it's significantly into the six figures in terms of dollars.
Okay.
And Kuchar's line is, you know, I pay you more than a doctor gets paid, you know, but he doesn't adhere to the 10% rule. Just to let you know that Valencia have just scored 1-0 Valencia.
I noticed a change in your voice as you were talking about Matt Kuchar there. It's interesting in several ways in that how out of touch it seems Kuchar's been over the last week with the public reaction to all of this. Forever, we were talking about this in Golf Weekly earlier, that next time you're out in the golf course and somebody doesn't live up to a bet or they don't buy a round of drinks, you're going to be called Matt Kuchar. Like, that is going to become the slang for the scroungy guy in the group. And like, that's something that's going to live with Matt Kuchar forever. For the sake of $50,000, your reputation is damaged forever.
It turns out that Mark Steinberg, Kuchar's agent, is the infamous Mark Steinberg, who's been Tiger's agent for years. And Steinberg apparently sent the guy $15,000 last week to try and shut him up. But alas, it hasn't succeeded. There is a kind of interesting wider point, Nathan. There is professional golf now. I mean, golf at the grassroots. You and I we're at the golf at the grassroots. Yeah, and it's kind of struggling really for participation, et cetera, et cetera. But golf at the highest level now, the amount of money that these guys are making. I'd never heard of it, but there's something called the Wyndham Rewards. There's a hotel chain in America called Wyndham. They put up $10 million for the guys who finished in the top 10 of the FedEx Cup regular season points list. $10 million. The European Tour announced this week that the winner of their end-of-season event in Dubai will make €3 million euros. So these guys are... I mean, they are now living in an utterly different planet to the rest of golf. And you just wonder how difficult it is for them to kind of stay in touch with what's going on with real people.
And it feels at times that maybe the caddies are the closest they come to talking to real people, because caddies are still as real as it comes. And while they might get a percentage and the winnings are going up, so their percentage should go up, it still feels as though that they are treated pretty despicably at times, caddies. They're not allowed into clubhouses in a lot of places. They're very much treated as second-class citizens. Like, I know you've worked as a caddy a number of years ago.
Well, it's slightly changed from then, you know. I mean, you see, it's a bit like a certain level of pro is private jetting everywhere, you know. And you can see, I never travelled in a private jet when I was a golf caddy, I'll tell you that. But you can see occasionally you'll see a caddy on a private jet. I mean, it was just great, you know, because the players, you know, there's always an extra seat on the private jet so they can throw the caddy in. But certainly, I mean, caddies do pretty well these days if you've got a good player. But they do. I mean, some of the biggest names in golf, if you're out there in the golf course, well, you and I are lucky. We can go inside the ropes and some of the stuff, some of the players treat the caddies is pretty awful. I guess they think, well, I'm paying this guy €300,000 or €400,000 a year. I mean, I can talk to him any way I like, or I can treat him any way I like, and I can blame him for everything. So, but it is a strange one.
You mentioned Mark Steinberg there, who, as you say, people will know as Tiger Woods' long-time agent.
Mr. No, and
turned him into the wealthiest sports person in the world. And it seems as though he's also Justin Rose's agent and is very good at the corporate side of things. There's nobody better at bringing in the money. Not particularly good at PR.
Terrible. Haven't you noticed a downturn in Justin Rose's image over the last, you know, year or so? I mean, good guy, nice, well-spoken Justin Rose. He doesn't appear as nice as he once was.
Well, listen, he's not a politician. He's a golfer, as he said when he went to Saudi Arabia a couple of weeks ago.
Well, that's a classic. That is a classic Steinberg line. I mean, it's a classic Tiger line. It is interesting, Nathan, as well. You look at professional sports in the United States, the most beloved figure in professional sports in the United States is Steph Curry, NBA player for the Golden State Warriors. And Steph doesn't go on all the time about politics, but he will speak out occasionally on social issues. LeBron, obviously, he speaks up quite a lot on social issues. And it does nothing to their corporate image. Corporations continue to love them. Fans absolutely love them. You would think that somewhere along the line there has to be a professional golfer who steps up to the plate and actually gets involved in the wider or the world beyond golf, that doesn't go to Saudi Arabia and say, I'm a golfer, not a politician. I'm waiting for that guy. And as soon as that guy turns up at the top level of golf, I will be wearing T-shirts with his face on the front. But it is odd that golf does not seem to accommodate a personality like Steph Curry, for instance.
I guess the difference probably is that Steph Curry goes back into the locker room and there's a lot of like-minded figures there, and that he doesn't feel as though he's letting down his teammates. Whereas you walk into a golf locker room, it does very feel as though, listen, if you vote Democrat, if you're left wing, you're very different to the vast majority of guys in there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a real. I mean, there is a whole peer pressure thing. But these are grown men, you know, step up. It's a continued source of frustration. I continue to hold out great hopes for Rory McIlroy. I think I think Rory's going to do it one day, and I look forward to that day. But we'll see.
Yeah, here's hoping. Here's hoping. Rory wasn't one of those who went to Saudi Arabia last week and said that they were golfers and not politicians. Sergio Garcia did go, and more than anybody, I'd say he regrets it. He ended up getting disqualified. It turned out that he had pretty much hacked up five greens in a rage. There's no footage of this, so we haven't actually seen it. We've seen a couple of photographs of the damage that was done. There is video of the day before when he loses the rag in a bunker and starts tossing the club around the place. Let's hear what he's had to say, because he's been on the apology circuit over the past few days.
You know, it's obviously something that, you know, I feel shame of. I'm not proud of it. But, you know, the only thing I can do is what I said, you know, apologize for it, you know, hope that people accept it, show everyone that I'm ready to move forward, and, you know, show everyone how, you know, how I am and how, you know, how I can behave on the course, and with respect to everyone, not only the fans, but my fellow players and everyone, and you know, make sure that that happens. You know, there's so many things that we could get into, and you know, like I said, you know, I'm a very emotional player. It's both my biggest strength and probably my biggest flaw. Obviously, I received some very emotional personal news early that week that didn't help. Obviously they were in the back of my mind, and as I got frustrated on the course, then it kind of everything erupted. But like I said earlier, I'm ready to move forward. I obviously have the amazing support of, you know, my beautiful wife Angela and Azalea and my team and my sponsors and all my fans, and you know, I want to prove to all of them the kind of person that I am, and show them that I'm here, I'm ready to step up and you know, show everyone what I can do.
Sergio, obviously getting better PR advice than Matt Kuchar has been over the last few weeks, says there was personal issues. It's very hard then to be overly critical when we don't exactly know what was going on inside his head. He's been roundly criticised for this from all comers, with the exception, it seems, of the Tour, who disqualified him but didn't implement any sort of a ban. Is he lucky, or are people overreacting to this?
Well, you make a good point there, Nathan. You know, it was pretty obvious. I mean, you saw from the video of the bunker business that there was something odd about that. I mean, you know, they all get frustrated, but there was something very odd and over the top about that. So you kind of suspected there was something going. So you are loath to go at a guy if there is something going on in his life. Was he lucky? He really was lucky. Although, I mean, if you think about Simon Dyson, who got, I think he got banned for three months, I think it was, for, that was essentially quotes and quotes. It was cheating. It was tapping down spike marks, although that's allowed now.
Yeah, he got a suspended sentence in the end, Dyson. He got a big fine, but they decided to suspend the sentence because they decided that it wasn't premeditated, essentially. We had Peter Lawrie, actually, who was on the rules committee at the time, talking about that. But I guess the punishment for Dyson was worse in that he was essentially ostracised by everybody on the tour.
Well, absolutely. And again, it's so different. There was another kid, a Scottish kid called Elliot Saltman, was banned for 6 months. Remember him? I think he got caught marking his ball incorrectly. Garcia, you have to think, I mean, the different rules apply for different people here. Garcia obviously gets thrown out of the tournament, but he's still walking away with $500,000 appearance money. So there appears to be not equitable treatment. I think he is lucky. Especially when, again, it wasn't on the European Tour, but you know, it's occasionally his behaviour on the PGA Tour has been awful as well. Again, if you remember back, I think it was a 2007 at Doral, he spat in the cup, and he missed a putt and spat in the cup. It's an interesting thing. If you go on YouTube and search for Sergio spitting, his post round interview after he was on TV spitting into the cup after missing his putt. He is absolutely unapologetic. It is quite remarkable. I mean, it was a pretty horrible thing to do, considering people going in afterwards. And he was completely unapologetic. As you say, his PR advice is clearly, he's probably got a better team of PR advisors. But to get back to your original question, yeah, I think he's got really lucky. I mean, he obviously suffers a humiliation of having to go round and around the circuit apologising to all and sundry. And I've seen that getting slaughtered by the likes of Brooks Koepka, who did a very surprising interview speaking out, basically called him a child. But that's it. You know, he seems to be, again, if you're in that upper tier of the professional golf world, you're not immune, but you're certainly treated differently to other guys.
Yeah, you'd wonder, will it have any long-term effects in terms of Ryder Cup captaincy, in terms of his legacy? You're shaking your head.
Oh, not a chance. You know, he's, again, it's, like, I hate to sort of repeat the cliche, but it comes down, I mean, Garcia is box office.
Mm.
When it comes to Ryder Cup captaincy, can you imagine the controversy that's going to surround? He's going to, along in the 18 months leading up to the Ryder Cup, which he is captain, Sergio Garcia is going to generate so much publicity because he does run fast at the mouth. He does things. He annoys people.
Yeah.
He rubs people up the wrong way. He's going to be a fantastic Ryder Cup captain.
Yeah, I guess from an interest point of view, you just wonder, when we talk of a game of honour and all of that, it's pretty much stacking up for Sergio, from this incident, the spitting in the cups, the comments about Tiger Woods and fried chicken. Like, how this guy still has a reputation is remarkable.
Absolutely. But again, you know, great player, charismatic personality. It's amazing. I mean, you look at some of the stuff that Tiger's got away with over the years. I mean, obviously, we had the big scandal, but some of the stuff he gets away with on the golf course.
Mm.
Again, different rules for different players.
Tiger is playing this week. When they eventually start, he'll be alongside Rory for the first couple of rounds. It's the one venue he's never had any luck, despite the fact he hosts the tournament now, Riviera, in the middle of LA. It's a whole change calendar. People are probably only going to come around to this in the next month or so when they realise the Players' Championship is in May. The USPGA is now going, or Players' Championship in March. The USPGA will be in May. The Open at Portrush will be the last major of the year. Is it making much waves in America, this new condensed calendar?
Actually, yeah, I think it is. I think it makes complete sense. So you have the Players and Masters, the PGA, US Open, and the Open Championship at Portrush. And you know, I think that it kind of builds in a narrative sense. It kind of builds, from my perspective, I think that the Open is the best major, is the most prestigious major. So for that to be the climax of the season, because if you think of the way that it was before, you have the Open, and then two or three weeks later, oh, God, yeah. I mean, can you remember who won the PGA Championship 2 or 3 years ago? I mean, I'd have to call out Wikipedia. And so I really like it. I'll be interested to see what happens with the Players, because people, it's been moved for, I think, 7 or 8 years. But if people cast their minds back to when it was in March, there was a lot of bad weather, because I was at a lot of those tournaments, and there was a lot of bad weather. So it'll be interesting to see. But I think it makes sense, and they really are. The PGA Tour is putting everything it's got in, the marketing department is putting everything it's got into pushing this Players' Championship. I don't think they've announced the final prize fund, but that is going to be absolutely enormous. They've got a new trophy. So we'll see. I think he even got, I think Rory's on the marketing side now. He was, I think he was doing a one club challenge on the 17th hole.
I've seen it online, yes.
It was kind of interesting how few greens he hit with 14 clubs, or 13 clubs. I think he only hit 4 out of 13. The modern golfer, Nathan, they're not like you and I.
No.
We can manipulate a pocket heel. We can hit any shot with any club, not this McElroy character.
Text in from Coleman. After Sergio's Saudi adventure, he should enter the Ploughing Championships.
There you go.
I don't know if you've ever heard of the Ploughing Championships.
I do. I've been to the Ploughing Championships.
Ah, very good. You enjoy it?
There you go.
How does it compare to Augusta?
I'll tell you what. It's a quick story. The Ploughing Championships, remember the Seve Trophy? The Ploughing Championships were on at the same time as the Seve Trophy 1 year. And the Seve Trophy was, I can't remember the golf course.
It was at the Heritage.
The Heritage, and there was about 300 people at the Seve Trophy and 60,000 at the Ploughing Championship. So there you go. I remember that.
That's the Nick Faldo effect for you right there.
There you go.
While talking of Ryder Cup captains, we've Padraig Harrington on the show this Saturday alongside Damien McGrain and Peter Lowry. They're going to be looking back on their time together on the European Tour. Lawrence, thanks a lot for that. A play kept with Harrington.
Mate.
He is talking about, well, it somehow came up. I asked him the last time he actually spent some money on golf.
2007 Open, get into the playoff, and Ronan, my caddy, had got 6 golf balls ready for the playoff that morning. Nothing to do with me. I would probably not be, not superstitious, but I wouldn't have been that organised. But he'd given them to his father to mind. He wasn't going to carry an extra 6 balls around the course. So both the lads here are nodding because they know Ronan's not going to take any extra weight. But we couldn't find his father between the finish and the playoff, because there was obviously a melee of people around the first tee. So we sent my manager into the pro shop, and he got 6 balls out of the pro shop, Carnoustie pro shop, logoed with Carnoustie on it, and I'm going to tee up with these golf balls with the logo. And just before I'm about to go, we find his dad, we get the golf balls. We didn't have to use the Carnoustie logo balls, but my manager was obviously in a rush and had to get the golf balls quickly and whatever. I was hunted down for those price of those six golf balls afterwards.
Did you not bring them back? No, sale and return, no.
I think I you know what, I don't have the golf ball. I might have the golf ball I won with, but I know I still have those golf balls with the logo on them. But yeah, I'm signing all the autographs and all the posters and everything, and they're giving it. But by the way, it's £45 for these six balls.
I'd imagine your manager was sweating as well, probably with your golf ball deal, and this is the one that rolls into the hole to win the Open Championship.
No, it was same ball out of the shop. It just had the logo on it. You know, that's the great thing with the tightest ball, the one the pros use.
Everybody uses.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.